consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Klipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars. And he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Klipp.
Hi, welcome back. Well, today's show is about how to prepare your house for teenagers. But before I get to that, this past week I had a few examples of things I've talked about on my show. The more humorous one was I talked last week during my do-it-yourself segment about the fun of swinging a sledgehammer and knocking down the wall, or using a chainsaw or a sawzall or even a crowbar and just beating something up. Turned on the TV the other day, and here was a Lowe's commercial. And they showed this guy with, you know, proper eye protection and proper gloves swinging a sledgehammer and knocking down the fence, and then taking a chainsaw and cutting something else down. So it's nice to see, you know, those same ideas out there and really the fun of destroying things before you go back and rebuild them. The other thing I saw this week, I had 2 conversations, and I've talked a lot about on this show that one of the 4 areas of winning in the dream home game, dream home race, is money. And very importantly, how you select an architect and work with them, and how you select a contractor, can mean a difference of hundreds of thousands of dollars. And this week I had 2 conversations that really highlighted it. The first one, when I go to parties, people often tell me about the custom home they just built. And this week, this lady was telling me about the home she just built, and it's a well-to-do couple. They had selected the most expensive builder in town to do their house, and primarily because their friend used him, and he does a beautiful job. The builder then suggested which architect to use, and I've kind of warned about this, that often when the builder is the one who selects the architect, the architect's real loyalty is to the builder. And a lot of the cost control power that the architect could possibly bring to the job is lost. So she was telling me about her house, and she said, yeah, it's a beautiful house, and we're really happy with it. Said, it cost a lot, but, you know, we're really happy with it. And inside I was just cringing, because knowing the builder and hearing the situation, I'm sure she got a beautiful beautiful house. And it only cost probably 25% more than market. And even with that builder, only about, you know, 10% more than that builder would have done the same job for under a more power sharing arrangement. The other example was one, and this is a disappointment to me, is met with a couple and they're going to build a new house. And so I talked to them about the value of using a full service architect who looks out for their interests. And, you know, really, and the primary value over and above one who just simply designs the house, is in cost control. It's in knowledge and attention so that someone is looking out for the owner's interest, primarily on the issue of cost. Well, they were interested in that, and I also talked to them about the idea that now builders are hungry, and even the best builders in town, you can create a competitive atmosphere. You can, instead of selecting one builder, select three of them, three great builders who each one of them will do you a beautiful house for you, and get them each to competitively price the house. Get them to, you know, go to their subs, and this is the big savings potential. Go to their subs and push them a bit to get a better price. And push the owner to get a better price. And between those, you know, you end up with better price. Anyway, they decided not to do that and just select the contractor and select the architect just to essentially design the home. Between those, they probably cost, it was probably a $100,000 decision. And that's, oh, I don't know, am I? Anyway, just some experiences this week that about real life mimicking what I'm trying to talk about on this show. Okay, back to what we're talking about. How do you prepare your house for a teenager? Well, this past week I also met with a couple for whom I renovated a house about 6 years ago. We'd taken a mid-century raised ranch house and opened it up. Did what I talked about to combine the living room and dining room and kitchen into one big room, one big open space. And so I hadn't been there in 6 years. I walked in and I was really amazed. I'd forgotten just how open and large and welcoming this house had become. What was more interesting is that it was a complete surprise because we hadn't touched the outside. So the outside looked like all the other houses in the neighborhood. The inside looked fantastic. One of the side things I'd done back 6 years ago was I'd urged them not to get rid of this little room beside the kitchen. It was 8 by 10, it had been an office, and office or a sunroom type space. And I told them how valuable this was for their family, for their kids. Their kids at the time were 4 years old and 2 years old. Said that if you put a child gate on that, remove the door, put a child gate on it, it becomes a playroom space that's monitorable from the kitchen, but out of the way. You can put the kids in there and have them play. You can watch them from the kitchen, and you keep all of the toys and stuff contained. Inside that room, they could scatter their toys. They could toss Legos about. It was great for them while keeping the great room, the big room, neat and clean. And, you know, at that age, 4 and 2, kids want to be underfoot. They want to, wherever you are, they want to be right with you. And especially when you're in the kitchen, they want to be right holding on to your leg. So to have that little space next to the kitchen was really great. Then as they got a little older and they outgrew their toys, were introduced to computers, this little side room continued to be an ideal spot because when kids are young, they, even if they're playing on the computer, every 5 minutes, mommy, mommy, can you help me with this? You know, mommy, I can't do this. And so every 5 minutes or so, they're calling you, and you want them to be right beside you at that point, even if they're working on the computer. So this little room beside the kitchen is really nice, and they were very happy that I talked them into keeping it. And the other thing about that, and even with the computers, is because it was a little bit out of the way, it gave them a little isolation so they could focus, and especially with homework, they were a little isolated, they could focus, and at the same time, mommy, mommy, help me, mommy, mommy, you're right there beside them. Okay, that was 6 years ago. Now the boys are 10 and 8, and they asked me to come back over to the house and look at a couple of things they wanted to do. One of them, the lady reminded me, was I talked about when the kids were teenagers and how you would have to change the house and change the setup for teenagers. So now they were calling me back, and we're ready to do that. Telling them about how, you know, at about 12 years old, kids start to seek to get away from their parents and get away from their parents, and so they have some privacy. And also they start to make a lot of noise and become very irritating. Noise and chaos, which is very hard for parents to take. So up until about age 12, the kids want to be under your feet. Over age 12, they want to be in their secret place. What they want to talk about is, at that time, we talked about fitting up the basement as a place for teenagers. And now I was coming back to look at that and to give them some thoughts. We talked about it, and actually Natasha, the lady, said, oh, you know, you need to do a show about this, about what you do with teenagers and how you set up your house. So when we come back, that's what we'll talk about, is how you set up the house for teenagers, still keep your sanity, and actually how you can make them come out much better people.
Voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Come back to your senses. Imagine a radio show that will help you recover your common sense. Host Leia Brenda Smith is a health and wellness specialist who will explain techniques designed to help you recover from the stress of your life. It's all about how you respond to your thoughts. A little bit of self-awareness can go a long way in helping you to relax and enjoy your life. Tune in to Come Back to Your Senses Radio, live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Want to hear about what's going on in the world of fashion, beauty, gossip, and politics? Then you'll want to tune in every Wednesday to the Voice America Variety Channel. Face Forward with entrepreneur and beauty consultant Sarah McNamara is honest talk, great guests, and a cool vibe with a lot of fun. Sarah and her guy Friday, Anthony, will turn you on to what's hot and what's not. This is a radio show custom made for you. Tune in to Face Forward, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. in the East, 11 a.m. in the West on Voice America Variety.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to cliffarch@yahoo.com. That's cliffarch@yahoo.com. Now, back to winning the dream home race.
Some of what I'm going to talk about now is, you know, has to do with the house and how you set it up for teenagers. Some of it's just child psychology and how you deal with teenagers. And I come by this honestly, or I spend quite a bit of time thinking about the psychology of the home, how you create rooms to, you know, encourage your good behavior, encourage the way people think, and set up spaces to make people happy. As well, my wife was actually a real psychologist. So between the two of us, we did a lot of thinking about child raising and really put a huge amount of effort into it. My wife, who she died a couple of years ago, but she and I have three children. And here I'm boasting, but I'm also trying to, you know, build my credentials to talk about this, is that I think we raised three very successful children. I raised three children very successfully. They did a lot of great things as kids. They entered speech contests and won. They entered writing contests and won. They did a lot of athletics, and the boy even became an Eagle Scout. So we spent a lot of time with them and a lot of coaching. All of them have now graduated from top colleges. In fact, I'm still boasting, but one of them was first in the class, and another was Phi Beta Kappa. And they're now launched and doing great. But the whole thing is, we gave a whole lot of hard work and intensive thought into what we were doing when we raised them, and really how we set up our houses and how we lived had a lot to do with this outcome. And it also has a lot to do with how close I am to my kids now. I'm really, one of the best things I have is just how close they are to me. Okay. I could talk about little kids, but this is about teenagers, this show. Successfully raising teenagers relies on three major points. The first one is to keep them close, to keep together as a family. The second, counter to the first, is to allow them space, to give them privacy. And the third is to mentor them, or put another way, to monitor them and what they're doing. All three of these have space implications. And one of my favorite quotes growing or raising these kids, there's a psychologist named John Rosemond. He writes a column on raising kids. And years ago, he made a statement that really stuck with me. Has nothing to do with building a house. He said, "You know you've raised your kids well when at 18, graduating from high school, they can't wait to get away from you, and you can't wait to have them go." So you're not going to be your kid's best friend. You're not going to hold them tight to you. If you do your job well, you're really going to irritate them. They are really going to irritate you. And you'll both be glad for them to leave and go to college at 18. And then it's amazing how they come back to you as adults. Okay, now back to design. home design. The first item is keep him close. It's a rule of thumb that works. The more time you spend with your teenager, the more influence you will have on their outcome. The more time you spend with your teenager, not punitively, but just being together in the same space, the more influence you will have on them, the more influence you'll have on their outcome. First area of this, I've talked about the most important space in the house is the kitchen great room. The kitchen great room is a great place to encourage interaction. If you think about it, especially if both parents work, you're busy professionals. I've talked about it, that the 3 hours that you're home in the evening, preparing dinner, eating dinner, cleaning up from dinner, is the majority of the time that you spend together during the week. And if you can keep the kids there in the same space with you, you've got time to influence them. You've got time to be with them. One of the most terrific ideas I've seen is that the only TV in the house, if you're going to watch TV, it's in the great room. And that means that TV watching, which is for all of us, we do it a few hours a day, you do that together. And you have to be somewhat democratic about it, though. If you're watching TV with your teenagers, sometimes you let them pick the show. And they might pick Say Yes to the Dress or Pregnant and 16. But if you're sitting beside them or in your kitchen behind them and hear something that you object to, you can speak up. You can, talk about how silly it is that this lady wants to spend $10,000 on a wedding dress. And especially when you listen and she's got a $30,000 a year job. That's way out of line. So you really can't influence your kids simply by the kitchen great room setup and making that the TV they have to watch. Let's see. The other area is computers. And a great idea is not to have laptops. If you have a laptop, they can pick that up and they can go anywhere in the house and use it. So far away from you, far away from any supervision. What we did is we had desktops, and frankly, I still do, which means that they're in one place. The best place is in the great room or in that little alcove off the kitchen. If they're going to use a computer, again, they're right near you. You can monitor what they're doing, and you can also be involved. See. And this one has nothing to do with the house, but, just talking along the same lines, is driving. We actually delayed our kids from driving until they were 17, which is a year more than usual in North Carolina. One great thing is you delay them for a year. There's a lot of maturity that develops between 16 and 17. So it's safer. But what we did instead is we drove them about. And this time in the car is possibly the most valuable time that you have with your teenage kid. If you don't allow computers and you don't allow them to put on a DVD in the car, then you have them alone, one-on-one, with no distractions. They actually speak to you. And, one of the things I see, one of the big mistakes I see parents make, has nothing to do with houses still, is that they hand the kids the car keys at 16 and they say, see you, drive carefully. Okay, you lose. You had this opportunity for great interaction with your kids, and it's gone. That's time that you don't spend with them. One of the things that I did, my kids played sports, and, you know, they drive out of town to tournaments. So say there's a volleyball tournament out of town. Even when they drove, I didn't let them. I drove them to the volleyball tournament, primarily because after you play all day, I don't want you driving home at 8 o'clock at night, tired for a couple of hours. So that was a good excuse. But the reality is that was valuable time with my kids. And even better is you get a group of kids and you drive them. That way, not only do you get to talk to your kid, but you also get to talk to their friends. Or actually, most of the time, you just shut up. And you stay silent driving and they talk. You get a feel for who they are. You get a feel for who their friends are. And you get a feel for what's happening in their lives. So nothing to do with houses, but if you really want to get to know your kids, spend time with them, and the car is one of the best places for that. Keep them close. You know, if your bedroom is downstairs on one end of the house and their bedroom is upstairs at the other end of the house, you're not close. You're far away from them, and you lose contact. If their bedroom is right near yours, well, you can pop in for a good night hug. You always respect their privacy, but you can pop in for a good night hug, maybe have an impromptu little conversation about something that's on their mind. So, like I said, first important thing about kids, keep them close. Keep in contact. And really, you both win. And the next area, number two, is allow them space and privacy. So, coming up on the break, and when we come back, I'll talk about the whole thing, the juxtaposition between keeping them close and giving them space.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Tune into Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's. We're a show all about wine, spirits, and other beverages. Your host, Kimber Stonehouse, is a professional expert and wine enthusiast. Each week, we'll focus on a different region of the world, discuss wines and other beverages, talk about some of the top restaurants in the region, and what to pair with which wine. Just listening could make you almost an expert. Around the World in a Glass is heard live every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Are you struggling to find hope in the middle of adversity? How confident are you in dealing with your life challenges? Do you realize you have the ability to overcome your obstacles? You'll want to tune in to Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities. Louise will speak to inspiring guests who have helped others or managed to overcome the roadblocks that stood in the way of their life success. Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities broadcasts live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Hi, before we get started, just like the lady just said, send me an email. If there's some topic you want to talk about, something that's on your mind, send me an email and I'll respond to you personally, but also I'll probably do a show on it. Because if you're thinking about it, there are lots of other people who are thinking about it as well. Okay, back to teenagers and allowing them space. Teenagers, part of their job is to establish their own identity and to break away from you. And you have to let them. First, just again, I talked about the bedroom. The bedroom is their room. And really, you have to, you know, ask permission to enter. It's their space, not yours. So you essentially ask permission to enter and accept first thing in the morning. You're allowed to enter the bedroom and get them up in the morning. And unless, well, the choice is they can spring out of bed with a smile on their face, or you can go in there and shove them out of the bed. Whatever it takes to get them up. But aside from that, it's their room. And so a part of the whole teenager thing is you have to respect that. Part of it is, too, that room will be messy. So what? I can remember going into these beautiful homes of people who were just, you know, really nice homes and beautifully kept and everything spotlessly clean and neat. Then you'd walk into the teenage girl's room. You always knew the teenage girl's room. The entire floor was a 6-inch layer of clothing. Before I had teenage girls, I was really disturbed by this. You know, how could the moms allow this? You've got the whole house beautifully neat and you allow this mess. First of all, it's a fight you won't win. So I understand that now. And teenage girls, when they decide what to wear, you know, they don't put on one thing and wear it. They put on and take off 5 outfits. And it's too much trouble to hang them all back up. So they all go on the floor. Anyway, kids' rooms will be messy. Teenagers' rooms will be messy. And when they've left for college, you can clean them up. Aside from that, I do believe the kids should share a bathroom. Part of, you know, when you go to college and your first year as a freshman, they make you live on campus in a dorm and they make you have a roommate. So many kids today don't know how to share. So if you have more than one kid, make them share a bathroom. Make, you know, something that's important to them that they have to share. They have to learn how to get along together without fighting. Aside from that, the bedroom, very big and important. The bedroom is for sleeping. It is not for homework. It is not for the computer. If you really want your kids to sleep well, to study well, the bedroom is for sleeping, not homework, and not the computer. If the computer's in there, they'll be on it, and they'll be doing that instead of sleeping. But even more than that with the homework is your mind, when it enters a space, it has expectations of that space. When your child enters the bedroom, you want the expectation to be calm, restful, sleep. Nothing else. Not, oh my God, I've got a paper due tomorrow. Not worrying about the test. They leave that behind them. Out in the great room, out in the study alcove. Reading, though, is great. If you set up the thing where a bedroom is for reading, that's super. It's quiet and contemplative. Goes along great with sleep. Everyone needs a shutdown space. And if you can make the teenager's bedroom their shutdown space, you'll be doing them a real service. Beyond that, the other big room for the teenager is the playroom. And teenagers need a chance to escape their parents, and they have to make noise. So give them that space. I would say that until age 16, that you really resist, well, period, you really resist putting a computer in the playroom or a TV in there. Maybe a game station, but when you put in, as I've talked about, if you put the computer and the TV in there, that's where they're going to watch TV, that's where they're going to be on the computer, and you don't know what they're doing, and you're not involved. So try and resist putting those in the playroom. A pool table is great. Ping pong table is great. Both of those teach eye-hand coordination. And I suppose a Wii system does the same thing. But, you know, we didn't believe in giving them game systems, and it worked for us. More about the playroom. The other thing is give them privacy on your terms. So when I talk about they need privacy, give them privacy, give them a playroom, a space that's their own, but set it up on your terms that you control when they have privacy and you control how much. So there is a rule of thumb. The further from the kitchen great room to the playroom, the less control you have. Further from the kitchen playroom, from the kitchen to the playroom, the less control you have. Now, automatically, that means the third floor is bad. When I was a kid, when I was a teenager, my best friend had a third floor playroom that the parents never went up there, had no idea what we were doing. And, you know, what we were doing wasn't what they would like us to do, I assure you. So the third floor is bad. Closer to the kitchen is good. Better than the third floor is the basement. If the playroom's in the basement, especially if it's directly downstairs from the kitchen, then it's pretty close. As long as the door stays open, you know, you can have a little bit of control. There's a real plus, though, if, in addition to the playroom being in the basement, if the laundry room is down there or the garage. If either one of those is down there, then, you know, the adult has a reason to cruise through at odd times. And that may be one of the secrets to maintaining control, is the idea that you can cruise through at odd times. Now, the drawback to the basement is there's a door directly to the outside. Typically, if it's the third floor, they can't go up there without getting past you or come down. If it's the basement, there's a door directly to the outside, and that's an issue. But still, if you're cruising through at odd times, it's less of one. I've actually created some really great playrooms in the bonus room above the garage. If you think about the typical house, or the typical McMansion type house, or any house, the garage is often down a couple of steps, and then you step up through a mudroom and into the kitchen. But when the garage drops down a couple of steps, the room above the garage can also drop down a little bit. And what works really well is that you have a staircase directly from the kitchen running up and into the playroom. What that does, first of all, it's less than a full flight up, which means it's real easy communication between the kitchen and this playroom. And more so, it's a direct line of sight. So there's still a door on the playroom, but when that door is open, you can stand at the houses I've designed. And what I think really works is that you can be standing at the kitchen sink doing the dishes, and you've got a direct line of sight up that stair and into the playroom. Works great with little kids. Works even better with teenagers. And one of the things, as I said, still needs to have a door on it. If they're teenagers, they'll shut the door. But the door is shut. They don't know when you're going to open it. And so it somewhat controls their behavior in that they've got privacy. They can make all the noise. Even so, you can show up at any time. In my house, actually, the playroom was even better, because in my house, the playroom is right in the middle of the house. It's right across the hall from my office. And it means I've got the chance to really monitor it without, you know, appearing to, without any effort. And the real secret was, when I built a playroom in the middle of the house, I soundproofed it. So they can be in there. They can just be playing the music, blasting it as loud as they can. It's soundproof. I can't hear it. It's got a solid door on it. And at the same time, it's in the middle of the house. I can open that door any time and go in. So, as I said, the secret with the playroom is how close it is to the kitchen and how easy it is for you to access it without making a special effort to access it. Come back, we'll talk about mentoring them and monitoring them.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news. Stock prices plunging, home prices receding, and unemployment growing. How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Tune into a program that's all about empowerment and human potential. It's all about navigating your life. In fact, that is the name of the program. Tune in every Monday morning for the Navigating Your Life Show with host Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. Each week we'll discuss a range of topics to help you with the challenges facing us every day. The information given can be implemented immediately and may change your life forever. The Navigating Your Life Show is broadcast live Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Voice America Variety Channel presents a program like no other for those in the field and interested in the field of security and training. On America's front lines of crime and war with Victory Defense Consulting, hosted by J.J. Sutton. Here, listeners are learning about tactical skills and practices that support efficient, smarter, and more enduring skills. You will receive the most up-to-date information about the security and training industry with detailed discussions and select special guests each week. Tune in to On America's Front Lines of Crime and War, Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to cliffark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
I used to think that what teenagers needed was a great big playroom. A great big space to horse around in and wrestle and, you know, and big was good. What really surprised me when I had teenagers and looked at what they did is that they don't need a big space. The play that they do today and most of what they do doesn't take up a lot of space, and especially the girls, you know, it's quiet and small scale. So that, well, a lot of their play is on the computer, but I found that a room that's about 14 feet by 14 feet is plenty big enough that they didn't need this huge expanse. The real thing was that it be theirs, that when you think about it, you know, their mess, or what you look at it as a parent and you see as mess, they see as home, their space, that you and you as the parent need to give that to them. When company comes over, shut the door. And as long as there's a door you can close, you know, let it be theirs and let it be a mess. But the old idea of the great big loft on the third floor really isn't as desired as a small space on the main floor near the kitchen. And whenever I talk to people, I try and talk them out of that third floor rec room and say, let's do a smaller space, a sunroom right near the kitchen. And the spillover is that it's more likely that you'll be together and that you will share space and share time with your kids. Again, put a door on it. Let them be noisy. Let them be messy. Let it be theirs. Okay. The last of the three items, I talked about staying together. I talked about giving privacy. The third one is the combined mentoring and monitoring. A lot of people may think of it much more as monitoring their behavior, but monitoring is also, should creative monitoring is mentoring. And your teenagers will fight for their privacy. And part of their job in life is to escape from you and to keep you out of their world. So you as the parent, you have to fight to stay engaged and to kind of keep involved, keep in their world, even as they're fighting to shut you out. The real key is how they do this in a low-key, relaxed sort of way. If you're militant, if you're in their face about it, they'll shut you out. And they'll build a wall. If you're relaxed and you let them come to you, spatially hold them close enough so it's easy, but let them come to you, then not only do you get a chance to monitor them and see what they're doing, but you also get a chance to mentor them and to influence what they're doing and how they're thinking. I'll come back to it. If the only TV is in the great room and you're in the kitchen working, preparing dinner, cleaning up, whatever, they have to watch the show with you. You can subtly make comments about what you're seeing. When you see something, you know, an action or on TV that you don't like, express your opinion. You don't express it as if mine's the only allowed opinion, but you express it as your opinion. And even if you don't believe it, they hear this, and a whole lot of it gets through to them. I use the example, 16 and pregnant. To sit with your daughters, or not to sit with them, but to be near enough that you can occasionally comment really allows you to do a lot of mentoring in a soft, low-key, relaxed way that gets under their defenses. Teenagers are great about defenses. And as parents, what we have to do is figure out ways to slip behind them, slip under them, you know, get past them without their noticing. And at the same time, part of that is allow them their comments, allow them their, you know, their opinions. If you're watching something, or, you know, you express your opinion about it, well, let them express theirs and give them a respect of their opinion. The more you do that, the more comfortable they are and the less defensive they are when they talk to you. You're the big winner, because we only have these kids for a few years. It's amazing how fast they grow up and go away from us. And if as teenagers you can hold them close to you for a bit longer, you know, if as teenagers they don't grab the car keys and run out the door, but you drive them. One of the most wonderful things, my daughter in college, she was in at Duke, she and her girlfriends would go over to Chapel Hill, and they'd call me at 2 in the morning, "Dad, can you give us a ride back to Durham?" That's wonderful time. And if you do it quietly and supportively, your kids will trust you and open up to you and open up their world so you can see it. You can monitor what they're doing, and you can mentor them. It's, as I say, It's easier if you can figure out ways to keep the TV where it's a shared experience, where you can keep the computer where it's a shared experience and also a monitored experience. You know, if the only thing you have are desktop computers and they are in the public spaces, then you've got a much greater chance of protecting your child from the things that are out there. But, like I said, so much of dealing with teenagers in your home is psychology, and the rule of thumb is the closer you can hold them to you, the closer you can make them interact with you in the same space, the more you will win as a parent, and the better for everyone. So next week, I'm going to go back and talk about money again. Money is such an important part of this process, and so we need to hit it again. Thanks. Have a good night.
Again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.